I never used to be good at listening. My mind runs at 100 miles per hour, so I used to find listening to be a fidgety, painful experience that wasn't focused on me, so I kind of hated it. But as I grow and develop, I realize more and more how important it is to simply be a great listener. That's this week on the Badass Agile Podcast. Greetings, team. Welcome to the Badass Agile Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Williams. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining me week in and week out. It's so great to have you here. In this critical episode, I want to continue the theme of listening and talk about not just how to listen, but what to listen for. But first, let's remember why we're here: to create an elite tribe of leaders who truly serve their clients and communities by doing what matters and what works, relentlessly chasing value and excellence like a badass. There are so many resources about what you need to do to be agile, but we're focused on who you need to become in order to lead teams. So let's hammer down those fundamentals to create a unique and powerful force in this industry. And if this helps you, tell your friends. And don't forget to check out my daily Agile Inspirations for Leaders by subscribing to my email list. You'll get a preview of next week's posts and a free video clip to help you align your week with strength and focus, all delivered right to your inbox. And you can also submit your coaching or leadership questions. You can do all this at badassagile.com, so go ahead and sign up or post your questions today. Nothing I'm about to tell you is really new. Everyone likes to be listened to. Listening well builds trust, rapport, and likability between two people. It's an unmistakable but easily relatable feeling to experience another person who just doesn't seem to care about what you say or what you think. Do you ever have that experience? And yet, how many of us are truly good at listening? There are three different levels of listening that we could talk about today. Number one is general listening and empathizing. The second one is listening for clues about how the other person makes sense of the world, what they believe, what they fear, and what they value. And then finally, listening for opportunities to make their world better. So let's dig in. General listening refers to the simple art of being present during a conversation. Now, how many of us failed to do that? That means when you finish speaking, you stop talking, you open your ears, and you basically shut your brain off, get out of your head, you listen. And a big part of this skill is avoiding the temptation to think of clever answers or solutions to the statements or problems that they're talking about while they're talking about it. But in reality, it's not enough to just shut up and let the words flow around your head. Active listening, which still remains a popular concept anytime you're discussing leadership, involves the processing of the sentences that you hear. It's a little bit like playing back what's being said a microsecond after they say it, so it becomes part of your mind's processing. It's like playing it back to yourself at a volume that only you can hear. Now, the second part of active listening, though, has to do with what you do with the information that you've just received. If all you do is start thinking about how this information affects you, then you're not really being empathetic. You're not putting yourself in their shoes. Instead, we should strive to really think about what it would feel like to have the experiences that this person's describing, to have the opinions or beliefs that the counterpart is talking about. What would it feel like to live in that headspace every day? What kind of experiences might have gotten them to those assumptions, and what would it be like to walk in those shoes? I want you to know this about your conversational partner. It's really easy to understand their world, and from there, it's much, much simpler to create a real, authentic bond of empathy and caring because you don't have to fake it. So don't pretend to know what it's like to be them. Actually, try to visualize it and feel the feelings, experience the sensations. Think the thoughts of someone outside your own head. So active and empathetic listening is one thing. And remember, the trick is to really shut your brain down, to stop thinking, but rather to put yourself in the shoes of the other. The next thing is listening to elicit cues about how this person creates their concept of the world. So as you're listening, once you've made a habit of doing what we've just described, start listening not only to what they say, but to the choice of the words that they use to say it. See, the words that people choose illustrate their outlook on the world. For example, if people are adventurous and experimental versus reserved and fearful, that will reflect in the words that they choose. For example, a reserved and fearful person might make frequent use of words like wait, think, careful, examine, maybe. But a person who's more adventurous and experimental will use more frequently words like try, go, jump, why not, want to. Likewise, a person who's intrinsically confident will use words like I think, I believe. But a person who doesn't have that confidence, but rather requires the approval of the outside world to validate their thoughts and feelings, will ask things like, what do you think? Listening to the cues that a person gives you is a bit of a gift, because it gives you a window into the way that their mind works and the way their emotions operate. See, it's so important to know this, because once you do, you'll understand what their essential needs are. And when the time comes to make your case, if you're trying to influence them in any way, whether you're trying to sell to them, or whether you're just trying to sell an idea, or whether you're trying to conscript their support, you'll have an easier time choosing words that actually work. So here's another example. If a person by nature is not a risk taker, they'll use words that reflect that reservation and that need for safety. If you come at them then and express yourself as someone who throws caution to the wind, someone who doesn't regard the rules, someone who abhors preparation and due consideration, you're highly unlikely to make a bond with this person, because people like people who are similar. People like people whose ideas they feel connected to. It's going to be very difficult to sway them to your line of thinking if you are radically different from them and you use words that illustrate the polarity or the difference between their way of thinking and yours. Now listen, if this skill sounds ultra-scientific or something you have to spend a lot of time learning, you really don't. All you have to do is go back to step one. Ask yourself the following questions as you listen about their word choice. Are these people who are motivated by things that they're going to get or things that they're going to bring into their lives? Or is this a person who's trying to avoid or have less of something? The words that they choose will reflect that. They'll use words like get, achieve, win, bring, want. Whereas the other type of person will use words like avoid, don't want, less of, get away from. Likewise, a person who's highly analytical will use words like analyze, think about, study, watch, observe, document. A person who's less so will use words like let's give it a shot, sounds good to me, why wait, the time is now. Do you see the patterns? You know this because you choose words specifically to reflect your internal state all the time. So start looking for patterns. If a person is highly analytical, you need to offer them evidence, proof, and persuasive arguments that bring them the need for safety that an analytical person wants. They want to know that the numbers have been crunched and the due diligence has been completed. So bring them arguments, logic, and emotions that make them feel like they've done the analytical prep work that they need to do. Remember, this is never about manipulating people, but rather speaking a common language that shows congruence, similarity, likability, and connectivity between two human beings. Now, finally, if you've done all of these things well, you now have some insights into what that person values, right? So you're able to propose solutions that are tailor-made to meet those needs. If during conversation you've listened carefully to what they've been telling you and realizing that the words people use don't always reflect the truth of how they feel, if you've been paying attention to the words that they choose, you'll understand that people perhaps dislike risk or they have no patience for waste. Whatever the case may be, you can now tweak and tailor your answers and your proposals to address specifically those fears, those likes and dislikes. Imagine what this could do for you in the team room, guys. This allows you to better understand and negotiate with product owners or stakeholders. This would allow you to have more honest and less defensive conversations with executives and sponsors, anyone who has expectations of the project, especially when those expectations don't quite get met. It could allow you to influence a vendor, a person who you don't know and have no background information about, but need to make a connection with and influence really quickly. And this will also make it easier to negotiate and navigate team dynamics. You see, when team members struggle to communicate and get along, you have an easier time understanding the source of the conflict and are in a better position to help resolve it if you just listen. Folks, thank you for listening. You can reach out at badassagile.com or find me on Twitter at badass_agile. I'll see you next time, and until then, stay badass.